The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. A sunny but cold day here in Southern California. Week 10 of the NFL season, almost in the books, and you have a happier Monday podcast here because Sal's team won, my team won, spirits are high. He's on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline now. Cousin Sal, what's happening?
Has that ever happened before where both our teams won? I look back, and as of I got back as far as 97, it had never happened before.
Convincing wins. I'm sure it happened because my team used to be good once upon a time, and now we're back. Now we have no names. We have wide receivers in the secondary. We're back to being the Pats again.
It seems like they all stepped it up. I mean, you didn't count on a lot of pressure from the defensive line and linebackers, and they came through. And you didn't count on like the turnovers, and you didn't count on it just seemed like everything was going their way.
Carter has been quietly good this season. Mark Anderson hasn't really played that much. That was the first game they just said screw it and unleashed both of them. And it actually was a legitimate pass rush. It was a little shocking. I was getting little flashbacks to Willie McGinnis.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And then McCourty goes out and you figure, all right, well maybe Rex Ryan has, maybe instead of, you know, holding these silly press conferences and making fun of the opposing coach, maybe he'll look at some game tape and start just throwing long and Cordy out, and didn't really matter. Sanchez was under fire.
My dad and I watched most of the game. We watched the game and mostly in disbelief that they just didn't spread the field and just pick on the various guys who weren't on the Patriots playing 5 weeks ago. It's crazy. You just figure, like, in that kind of game, Santonio Holmes should finish with 200 receiving yards. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a single guy who would have covered him. Kyle Arrington, who actually had a good game, was the number one quarterback. They were picking on McCourty before he got hurt, but you know, by the second half, it was just comical. My dad, like three different times, my dad's like, "Who's that guy? I don't recognize that number." Like we didn't know who was on the field.
Yeah,
and it was just one of those games.
That middle screen of LaDainian Tomlinson was their go-to pass. Like that was the first route they would go to. And Ninkovich, that when he returned it for a touchdown, like who didn't see that coming? That was sad. How easy that was to telegraph.
The Jets. I felt like in the first half they should have been leading by a little bit more because the Pats didn't play well. Brady did not play well. He was not accurate. I was really worried. His passes didn't have any zip. The Jets missed that short field goal. It felt like they should have been up more. And the Pats come out in the second half and just blow the door open. Brady, that was, when they do that, it makes you almost wonder why they just don't know huddle all the time and keep the teams that rotate guys in and out. Just keep those same 11 guys in the field and just shred them. Doesn't that seem like that would just work?
Yeah, they have their hands on their hips in the second quarter. I will say this about Gronkowski, though. I think he's the first receiver to make, and obviously he's a tight end, but he's the first pass catcher that makes Brady look good. It's usually the other way around, right? And this guy leaves his feet every time he's targeted. You know, he's doing backflips and catching the ball. But he is phenomenal.
It is a concern. My dad and I talked about that yesterday. Brady does leave him a couple times a game in a position where somebody could just annihilate him. And it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen at some point this season because a lot of the times he's twisted 45-degree angles and stuff. You know, going into that game, even Tony Dungy, right before they're headed to the game, they were like, "Who do you think's going to win?" Tony Dungy's like, I just think the Jets are better. I think they're going to win." And you know, 3 hours later, the Pats have as good of a record in the AFC as anybody else. If you had to bet your life on one AFC team right now, who would it be?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, I was just about to say, and it is 3 hours. It really is. Every 3 hours, it changes. Like last week, we would have said the Ravens, Patriots were spiraling downward. Maybe 2 weeks ago, we would have said the Steelers. Now, and now it's the Patriots back on top. And I'll stick with the Pats. I'll stick with the Pats because, man, they have an easy stretch now coming up, right?
Yes, that's the underrated. If you're just comparing, like, who's going to make it, the Pats have – I'm queuing it up right now. The Pats have a ridiculous stretch. They talked about it last night during the game, but let's talk about this again. They have 7 games left. They are 6-3. They have Kansas City this weekend at home. Mm-hmm. Philly, at Philly, that's arguably their toughest game left, and who knows if Philly is even good. I mean, every week we keep thinking they're going to turn around. It's just not happening.
Yeah, I know. I know they're not good. Yeah.
Indy, at Washington, at Tebow, December 18th. Maybe that's the game they lose.
Yeah.
Home for Miami on a Saturday. Don't sleep on that game because Miami has been, like, secretly pretty good. And then home in the week 17 for Joe Mead's Buffalo Bills. It does seem like they could run that slate, but
I think it's 11 or 12 wins. I really do.
Yeah, with the defense they have, you would think that Philly matchup could be a nightmare. You would think. Then are we writing off Philly? Because, you know, they don't have 7 losses yet. As long as nobody gets to a 7th loss, I can't write them off.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but now they're saying Vic had broken ribs as early as the first quarter and may not play this week. So I don't know what's with that team. I mean, really, you can't make enough of this dream team thing, because, like, imagine if the Yankees started, after all they pay their players, they started 30-60. It just would make no sense to you, right? We would never, ever stop talking about it.
Right.
And I think we should do the same for the Eagles here.
Well, so they have 6 losses. 7, you're out, because it's going to take 10 wins to get in the playoffs. They still have games left against the Patriots. Next week, they are playing at the New York Giants on a Sunday night. And I can't think of a fan base other than maybe the Cowboys, but I would still give the edge to the Giants. Can you think of a fan base that would enjoy driving the stake in the heart of the Philadelphia Eagles season more than the Giants on a Sunday night? I can't.
No. Well, I get the Harlem Globetrotter fans, for some reason, it's a weird thing that they hate.
I forgot about them.
Yeah, but other than that, that would be it. That would be it. And especially the Giants coming off a loss, they're not going to take the Eagles lightly. But I don't understand why they can't score. I mean, even like the handoff to McCoy on that, you know, they already point him in the direction where he's going. He gets like 7 yards a clip. Like, why are they not scoring against Arizona? And I don't know if Andy Reid at any point of the game says, what are the activation rules in the NFL? Because I need a deep threat here with like 1:20 left needing a touchdown. Can I get DeSean Jackson back in the game? I forgive you for missing a practice. Just really fell apart for them.
To your point, McCoy had 14 carries for 81 yards.
Yeah. Do more of that. I don't get it.
And meanwhile, Vic, 34 passes for 128 yards, which is really about as bad as you can get. And what's weird is that the Eagles led for most of the game. It's not like they were down 20 and they had to throw every time. For the first 3 quarters, they were leading.
And but they were never really in an offensive groove. I mean, aside from, you know, McCoy runs the ball well, but, like, you know, Samuel returned the ball for a touchdown on defense, and that's how they got ahead. And then Macklin went out and then came back in, and they don't have DeSean Jackson, so you know, you're throwing to like Selleck and some other guy. There's not much to do there, but they're in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
Can you name O. Schmidt? What's O. Schmidt's first name?
O?
O.
That's Orenthal Schmidt, right?
That's Owen Schmidt, fullback. He caught a pass yesterday. What about C. Harbor?
I don't know C. Harbor, no.
C. Harbor's Clay Harbor. He played. He didn't catch a pass.
Cold Spring Harbor was right by where I grew up.
R. Cooper.
Wow. Yeah.
R. Cooper, Riley Cooper. He was in the game yesterday. He didn't catch. Yeah, it was bad. Steve Smith had 5
catches.
Yeah,
I mean, when thinking about, like, all right, I might really get fired in a couple games. Maybe I shouldn't be benching players. We need some wins.
You know what, though? This is part of coaching, and this is what drives me crazy about football coaches. This is why I really have a lot of respect for what John Fox did in Denver with Tebow, where you look at your team that you have at that specific moment, and you go, how do I win with this team? And John Fox is like, all right, well, I'm stuck with this guy. Let's try to win with this guy. Mm-hmm. You have Philly yesterday. They've no DeSean Jackson, and Macklin gets hurt in the first half pretty early, right? Was it the first quarter?
Yep.
At that point, you look at LeSean McCoy, and you go, all right, LeSean, you're going to have to carry the ball 35 times today.
Yeah.
And we're going to ride you, and we're going to kind of change what we do. And instead, you know, you could see it. We were watching that game, or just watching Vic sail passes over people's heads. Like, there's clearly something wrong with it. But.
And I don't think they took Arizona seriously at any point of the game. I really don't. They're probably like, well, still John Skelton has to beat us. But, you know, Fitzgerald gets open deep. You're not that far ahead. It's going to be a game, and it was.
I really regret not going full born with my guns and just picking Philly to go 6-10 this year. It would have been one of my career highlights. I could see it, and I just didn't have the balls to do it.
How could you see it, though? Why?
Well, because it was the classic. Everybody was on the bandwagon. They had this team where the guys were thrown together. Like, we learn this every year. Football goes beyond just, you know, just bringing in talent and hoping it meshes. Like, you look at what's going on with the Niners. Now that team is just locked in as a unit. Like, that's football. Yeah. So,
but how do you see that the team is going to have 5 losses when leading in the fourth quarter? I mean,
well, that's pretty crazy.
That's astounding. That really is.
Although I will say the only game that they lost that, you know, I watched all those games, and the only really fluky game was the Atlanta game. Because Vic got hurt. They were going to win that game by 10 points. And then that fell apart.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Niners game, they had the lead, but the Niners, I felt like they won that game. Joe Mead's Buffalo Bills, when they won, Philly just played like crap and didn't deserve to win.
They're up on the Giants 16-14, I think, in the fourth. They lost that.
Yeah, but they deserve to lose that, too. Same with the Bears. The Bears outplayed them. But that Atlanta game just kind of started the – they didn't totally believe in them. So speaking of belief, so this guy DeMarco Murray –
yes.
Has seemingly salvaged the Cowboys season, am I right?
This is it. It's nice the way it worked out because he had some cupcake games against, like, the Rams and the Seahawks, and he could, you know, flex his muscles a little, and he put up some nice numbers, and it worked. And the offensive line is so solid now, and that's all I ever wanted is some running. So to take the weight of the world off of Tony Romo's shoulders, and now he showed you what – he had an Aaron Rodgers-type game yesterday. I mean, that was
– he was great.
I know Peter King talked about it, but I don't hear a lot more about it. But
and Lauren Robinson looks like the next Drew Pearson.
You stole him from me. You stole him. That was a great pickup.
All right, dog. Dallas 5-4, heading into the last 9 games here. Let's go week by week. You tell me whether they win or not. Week 11 at Washington.
Week 11. Mike, I am nervous about this Redskin team. I don't know where they get their offense from, but I see Rex Grossman driving to win the game at the end. I'm going to give him a win, Mike. I'm going to give the Cowboys a win anyway. Go ahead. Go ahead. What else you got? Is that the end of the season or is there more?
Doug, you do not have to be worried about Rex Grossman. You do not have to be worried about Rex Grossman. 4 days later, Thanksgiving, Miami, home.
You cannot look past Miami, Mike. Mike, are you sure that's on Thanksgiving? They play football on Thanksgiving?
People
are trying to eat, Mike. I can't believe they play football on Thanksgiving. I'm giving the Cowboys a win.
Sunday, December 4th, at Arizona.
At Arizona, they are going to have 65% of the fans there going to be wearing blue, and I predict a win, a close game, but a win for the Cowboys.
Oh, dog, all of a sudden you're 8-4. I'm going to have a Diet Coke. December 11th, home, the New York Giants.
Home against the New York Giants. This is where they slide a little. Mike, I see a loss, 8-5. That's an 8-5 that's a loss. That's a Sunday night game. Am I right?
At Tampa, Saturday night the next week. Possible look-ahead game. You got home for Philly, then at the Giants in week 17. Possible look-ahead game there.
We're 8-5 now. We go to Tampa. Tampa by then will have fallen apart. They will have been blown out 4 times by various teams. Not as good as the Cowboys. 9-5, Mike.
And then home for Philly, you win that. At the Giants, week 17. Possible NFC East title on the line. What do you think?
That game means everything. I got to give them a loss, Mike. I got to give them a loss. 10-6. I think they get out coached in that last game, but 10-6. I think is enough to grab a wild card.
Dog, that is a huge, huge loss right there. Because I don't know if you get in the wild card at 10-6. I don't see it.
Mike, if anyone knows about Huge, it's you. You have been obese for the last 25 years. I don't mean to say it, Mike, but look in the mirror, please.
Let's see who can get to 10 wins here.
We went through that charade and everything, but I actually could see us screwing up one of the next three games. I really do. Arizona, Miami, or Washington.
You have eight teams who could get to 10 wins right now in the NFC, and I'm including Atlanta at 5-4. I think the Lions fall out. They're 6-3 now, and they just don't have a running game. It's too easy to figure out what they're doing. And Stafford hasn't played well in a month.
I agree. I think they're soft. I don't know why, but they're soft offensively. They're going to have trouble getting to 10 wins.
Looks like these are the six playoff teams. Green Bay, San Fran, New Orleans, Chicago, the Giants, and then it's between you and the Falcons for
Falcons
that wild card,
easy,
I think.
Do you have the schedule in front of you? The Falcons
I do.
Have an easy schedule. I was about to write them off after yesterday, and I'm like, oh, God, somehow they have, like, Jacksonville three times or something stupid.
They have home for Tennessee, home for Minnesota. At Houston's a loss.
Yeah.
At Carolina, home for Jacksonville, at New Orleans, home for Tampa. So they're probably 10-6. I could see them blowing that Jacksonville game. I like Jacksonville. I'm the only person on the Jacksonville bandwagon.
They
good
just keep
defense.
Winning. They have a lousy schedule, yeah. But they win. So
good defense. You know, I will say, though, I don't think Atlanta deserves to make the playoffs after forget about whether they should have gone for it or they shouldn't have gone for it. It's going to start this whole Saber nerd versus real football fan debate that now seems to happen every 2 years. And I don't want any part of it. I'm just tired.
Yeah,
of
I don't like it either.
How about this?
Yeah.
Well, how about this? The two times these two communities have gone head-to-head with a football decision, both times it happened when the football decision didn't work. And then they were telling us why it was a great decision anyway. I would have punted. We had that game on. The Saints offense didn't do anything in the two series before. You punt and you try to stop them. I thought the Saints, their offense was wearing down, it seemed like.
Yeah, you're at the 30. You're not at the 50. You're at the 30. And that doesn't mean if you get a first down there, you're going to get in the field goal range. You still could possibly have to punt it to Drew Brees, which is your biggest nightmare. Just kick it away. He still has to win on the road, which he hasn't done in a while, so.
And also, the argument would be, you needed half a yard? You have Michael Turner, but you're never going to do play action in that scenario. They knew they were going to run it. They just put 11 guys in the line. And also, if you don't get it, you lose. It's overtime. When the Patriots did it, Manning was on fire, had smoke coming out of every orifice in his body, and it was clear that if they didn't get a first down there, Manning was probably going to go down the field and score. I still thought it was stupid because of the play they ran. They ran a 4th-and-2 play where the guy went a yard and a half. I don't understand why they'd just spread the field and do the Brady thing. But I don't know. It didn't work is the bottom line. So it's like, you can show me the percentages all you want. But as we're watching, we're going, this is stupid. What if this doesn't work? And then it didn't work. And even if it does work, even if it doesn't work.
It hasn't worked the last five times. Plug that into your computer. I don't know how else to say it. You're putting yourself out there for no reason.
Well, and also when the Patriots did it, it ends the game if they get it. The Falcons get it. It's just first down on their own 31-yard line in overtime. I just don't feel like it's worth the risk. I don't see it. I'm sure we're going to have an hour-long panel about this at the Sloan Conference in 4 months. So.
Right.
I'll try to prepare better for those thoughts. But it just has to be mentioned that the two times that we've had this huge, debate about whether the team shouldn't have done it or not, both times the team lost. So obviously it didn't work.
Yep.
Let's go to the week 11 Lions. We do have a Monday night game tonight, by the way. Green Bay hosting Minnesota. I gotta say, I think Minnesota hangs in this game. Am I crazy?
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Well, they played, 3-4 weeks ago in Minnesota, and Green Bay had a little bit of a fit. But I think they roll a little bit. I do.
Felt like Minnesota's offense was able to move the ball that whole game. And Peterson is a really bad matchup for the Packers, and most teams, but especially the Packers. It does seem like they have trouble containing him.
We'll see if he's utilized at all if they get behind 14-0.
And also Jared Allen. I just feel like Minnesota shows up. I think it's close for at least a half.
All right. This week, Colts, Saints, Broncos, Texans off. Not Broncos. I wrote that down wrong, didn't I? Wait.
No, not Broncos.
They can't be. They play Thursday night. Somebody else. Anyway.
We should also mention one more thing.
Go ahead.
the underdogs. I mean, I'm sorry, the home teams the last 2 weeks, 8-18 against the spread.
Yeah.
And we first 8 weeks were in a situation where the home teams were covering. In the last couple of years, that really hasn't been the case. The road teams have been covering more often than the home teams by usually like about 2 a week, one or two a week. And finally it corrected itself, and the road teams have been thriving.
And it's like when you pick this game, and all the spreads were 3 yesterday, right? There were a ton of spreads of 3. And so Carolina's home given 3 to Tennessee, and you look at it, and you're like, I don't want to just keep taking road teams here, right? Especially when the home team has to win by 3. And I fell for that. I think at this point, now it's around Thanksgiving, you just go with the better team, right? Especially if you're given a low spread like that.
That's what I did yesterday, and it worked with basically every game except for the Baltimore-Seattle game, which seemed like an obvious trap game. Classic trap game, letdown game. Seattle Stadium's going to win it. And yeah, I thought about it. I spun it around and came to the conclusion that Baltimore was for real and that Pittsburgh win was some sort of a Super Bowl tipping point for them potentially. And instead they went the other way. And now I don't believe in them at all. So there you go.
It's a messed up season. So Thursday night, let's start it off. Jets at Denver.
What an awesome Thursday night game this is. I mean, seriously, who's not going to watch this game? I can't wait. It's a classic.
It's really not fair. It's really not fair to the Jets, though, right?
It's
Sunday night to Thursday night. They have to travel across country.
It's so unfair. And then on top of it, they have 3 days to try to practice for this garbage offense that Denver's running that works.
And you love it, though. You love it. We watched games yesterday. How come you love it?
It's so stupid. It's like he's winning NFL games by running the ball 55 times and throwing 8.
I know.
I love it.
Don't you feel like it's ruining? You're like celebrating it, screaming, Debo, but I'm like, this is ruining our sport. This is like when you watched wrestling and the WWE would do a gimmick where Jared from Subway would come out and pin the big show. It's like,
I love it.
Nothing against Subway. It's the tastiest sandwich around, but it doesn't. Come on. What are we looking at, Debo?
The Tebow thing, Jacoby and I are both so far in on it. It's just ridiculous. It's great. I love it. And I think they beat the Jets this week. He's a winner. He wins football games.
He throws them all twice.
Hey, he wins. He made one big pass and won the game yesterday.
Kyle Orton, you're going to just find him hanging somewhere in the thin mile high air. My God.
I think the Jets are going to be favored by 3.5, and I love the Broncos.
All right, we split this because I said 4.5, and it's 4.
So love the Broncos.
Yeah, why not? So stupid.
You know, and also like the Jets, the type of team they have. This does seem like it's a good matchup for the Broncos. You know, because the Jets are small. Like, they had all those defensive backs out there yesterday, and the Pats just kept the tight ends on the field and went no huddle and just blew them off the ball. It does seem like Denver could just do that in this game.
How could you handicap this? The division itself, but just the Broncos, you know, they get murdered by the Lions. They come out, and then they beat the I can't even talk anymore.
I like your WWE analogy. It's like when Rey Mysterio's the WWE champ and he weighs 160 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, come on, this is stupid.
Yeah. I think Tim Tebow was fake. I think his whole thing is scripted. It's like
he should wear a mask like Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, why not? All right, Sunday, Dallas at Washington.
Ooh. Oh.
Here we go.
Yeah. You know what? I think you're giving a touchdown. I have Cowboys by 7.
You're going to get it. I said 6, and it's 7.5. I forget they always add a point and a half to the public jumping on the Cowboys, but I don't
know.
How do the Redskins score this game? I know they will. I'm just trying to figure out how they do it.
They need like some sort of trick play. They need a defensive touchdown. They need Romo to do Romo things.
Yeah.
I do think you're going to have a potential situation, though, where you have like 25,000 Cowboy fans there. And
really?
Then all the diehard Redskins fans. Yeah, because I think the Redskins fans are out on this team. They're giving away their tickets, putting them on eBay. You have all the Dallas fans going, and I think it creates a situation where you have all these Cowboy fans at a Redskins game, and it just everybody gets bummed out by it, except for the Cowboy fans.
Here's one thing I'll say. They should be a little afraid of us. The Redskins should be a little afraid after seeing 44-7 drubbing.
I like the confidence, Sal.
I do. And let me tell you something. I know he's sitting there waiting in the wings, but I haven't forgotten about the wager I made with Joe Mead. The winner, his Bills, my Cowboys, the loser was supposed to sing a show tune.
Yeah,
are
but
you prepared?
We changed that bet, though. The loser now had to watch one of his starting receivers hand a football from a touchdown to a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. We changed that bet. So
that
Joe Mead lost. And so did America. Sal, I've never seen you madder at anything that it's ever happened in a football game. You were outraged. I thought you were going to storm out.
There was a lot of celebrating by teams who were down like 2 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, Terrence Newman have given the pick six to that same cheerleader. Like, where does this end, really?
And David Nelson, this isn't going to lead to an Us Weekly feature. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Third string. You're the number three receiver on a team that's 5-4. That is going to be 7-9 in 4 weeks. I'm sorry, Joe Mead, but it's true.
I hope she broke up with him yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. He should be cut from the Bills as well.
I gotta say, I feel like David Nelson could do a little better.
Really?
Cute, but not a knockout. David Nelson's a handsome guy.
She was okay. They could let her go, though. She should not have taken that ball.
That would be great if she got fired. Best thing that could happen in her career. If she gets
Did Jerry
fired.
Fire her?
He should. Fire her or sleep with her. He's going to do one or the other.
Joe, where's the song? I'm waiting.
Joe Mead, are you going to sing?
I'll warm up for you. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Let me cue the music, and we'll give you a chorus.
All right. Nice. Oh, good.
This is great.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day up.
ESPN Radio, this is Joe. Yes, sir.
Oh, no.
It'll never happen again. Thank you, sir.
Oh, a bit by Joe Mead.
What was that? You got a call in the middle of the song?
Yeah, sorry.
That was a bigger upset than the Seahawks game.
We got a...
Well done, Joe Mead.
Disney Legal doesn't like us using that kind of music. So.
That's great.
Joe, you lost 44-7, Joe. I need a few more than three bars of Vanny.
That's great. Come on. That way exceeded what we expected.
Did the game even end? I was watching in the third quarter. All of a sudden, we go to Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and I'm like, did they call it due to darkness? I don't know what happened.
Little orphan Joey. I like it.
Joe
All right.
Is it too early to express some concern about the Ryan Fitzpatrick $59 million contract? I'm just asking.
I still like him, but they might have gotten a better deal if they signed him this week.
Couldn't they have looked at the schedule and gone, maybe we should wait until he gets through these next couple games before we give him $59 million? Same thing with the Eagles and Vic. I mean, really, he had like 6 good games, he had a good training camp, and they gave him $100 million.
Does most of that money come from Toronto? Maybe it's a Canadian exchange maybe that they're thinking of. I don't know why they would give him so much. Joe, they throw underneath. You sit on those short routes, and the game's over, really, right? Why don't they throw long? Wasn't Stevie Johnson a deep threat last year?
Yeah, he was. They had Donald Jones as well, but when they were throwing deep earlier in the year, and then once Jones got hurt, it seemed like they stopped taking anybody vertical, and that's really killed them.
Also, you're still missing your left tackle.
Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries on the offensive line. It looks like the center, Eric Wood, might be out this week, so bad news.
It seems like they're running that offense of a team that knows that its quarterback doesn't have more than about 3 seconds to throw the ball.
Yeah, but a lot of times when the team's left tackle gets hurt, they replace them. They don't just put nobody out there.
Yeah, right? The replacement left tackle got hurt as well.
Oh,
yeah,
so there's 10 guys.
They had to move their left guard to left tackle, which is always a bad omen, and then they have like somebody practice guy playing left guard. Anyway, it's not looking good, Joe Mead. Good run,
nice.
Though.
Good run.
Yeah. Right,
Cincinnati at Baltimore.
Oh, that was a devastating game for the Bengals. They lost Leon Hall, their other great starting cornerback. The other one's playing on Houston, so that's not good. Mm-hmm. A.J. Green got hurt on an incredible touchdown catch that we watched along with Troy Polamalu.
I give the Bengals credit. They're down 14-0. Dalton, not a great pass. Throwing the lollipop into double coverage, and A.J. Green brings it down. I mean, if that's picked, that game's way over, and maybe their confidence is completely shot. But now it's just somewhat shot, I think, at Baltimore.
Yeah, it's not good. It was crazy, though. Like, as recently as 2 o'clock East Coast time yesterday, the Bengals were the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
They're at Baltimore this week. I have them getting 7 points.
All right, you nailed it. I said six. I thought seven was a little high, but it is seven.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if the Ravens didn't handle them with ease this week.
Yeah, I think we have to really strongly consider throwing the Ravens in a tease, as much as I hate to say it, with maybe the 49ers. We'll get to that game.
I don't, with Flacco, I think I'm going to have to take back all the nice things I said about Flacco last week, taking back all the mean things I said about him the week before. So I don't know where I stand with Joe Flacco. But.
Well, I can tell you the Ravens fans don't know either. The one thing that might help Joe is I think maybe like a Manny Pacquiao type facial hair.
Right.
I think facial hair, because when things go bad for him, he looks so sad. It's like watching like a, like the quarterback on the 10th grade team in prep school who just threw a pick.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, he's looking at his dad. He doesn't know what to do.
Are we talking about Joe Meade or Joe Flacco?
No, Joe Flacco.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Either way. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. All right. Jacksonville or Cleveland?
Oh, my Jags. I've been riding the Jags. Cleveland stinks, and amazingly, they're going to be favored in this game, too, even though as they didn't have last week, they didn't have a single fantasy guy. They don't this week either.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Browns giving 2.5, and I like the Jags.
All right. I hit this exactly. I said one, and it's only one. I love Colt McCoy in this spot. Those are seven words you're not hearing any time. What happened to that guy?
I got to say, I think that line moves, and I think Jacksonville's favored by like 1.5 or 2.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I do.
All right.
Both, I think people are going to look at this Jags team a little bit more seriously.
Carolina at Detroit.
Whereas the Panthers, they're going to look at them a little less seriously.
Ugh.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton was so excited in those first few weeks that we all decided to overlook the part where they don't have any semblance of a defense.
Yeah, they don't play myself. Any defense.
Yeah, they're terrible. Like Tennessee just shredded them yesterday, and I think this is a nice matchup for Dallas. For Detroit.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, as long as this line stays around where I think it is, I kind of like Detroit. I had Detroit by 7.
All right, I said 9.5. I mean, this defense is very, very ugly. But it's 6.5, so you're gonna get
there.
So you're up 3-2. So you like a Detroit-Baltimore two-team teaser.
I'll tell you, I think Detroit might be – they kind of deceived us a little bit because we thought they were actually good. I don't think they're good. I think they're a good bad team.
I think they win this game, but like we discussed, they still have the Packers twice. They're at New Orleans. They have San Diego and at Oakland. They're going to have a tough time getting the 10 wins.
I think they're going to beat the teams they should beat.
Yeah.
Their goal really is just to stay – just relevant until that Thanksgiving game, just so we can have like a legitimately decent Thanksgiving game. That's all I want from them.
On the other hand, Cam, can you at least throw or run for a touchdown to save our Rookie of the Year bet, please? Make it look like we have a chance.
Oh, God. I don't even know who's who's the favorite now in that bet?
Well, last week it was -400. I don't know why we didn't jump on the field. I mean, it was him versus everyone else, but I think it's still Dalton now.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray's not a rookie, right?
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Oh, boy. That's our threat.
What do we do with that?
He's got 7 weeks left. He might finish with over 1,000 yards.
Right.
Actually, he probably definitely will finish with over 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Man. Maybe we put money on DeMarco Murray, because Cam's not going to win the Rookie of the Year if they go 4-12.
I'm not doing that. And then he tears his ACL and my Cowboys season is done. I will let you do it, and I'll root you on for sure. I can't do it, though.
Hold on. Let me just quickly. Let me look at DeMarco Murray's stats here. Yeah, he was a 2000. He was drafted with the 71st pick overall.
Yeah.
God forbid the Pats didn't take him instead of the two running backs they took who don't play.
Third round. You don't have a lot of draft picks. You didn't have a third rounder, did you?
We had a first, 3 seconds, and a third, and somehow only one of them plays, which I'm still trying to figure out. Took two second round picks, and we had Danny Woodhead trying to block somebody in his own end zone. Yeah. Oh my God. Murray's got 674 yards already.
Yeah.
We're in serious trouble, Sal. He's got 7 games left. He's going to be at like 1,400 yards.
God bless him. Let him do it. Let him win it.
Good God. 674 yards.
Yeah.
6.7 a carry.
He's a good player. I don't want to say he's the second coming of Adrian Peterson, because then we'll win our Cam Newton bet if I utter those words. But
is he one of the top 5 running backs? No. Fred Jackson still, Joe Mead, Fred Jackson still leading at 9:15.
Yeah.
Yeah, Murray's 11th right now.
Yeah. He didn't start the first three, right?
We're in major trouble. All right, let's keep going.
Yeah. Next, Tampa Bay at Green Bay.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. It really, the wheels really came off for my man Josh. I'm going to say Packers. Packers by 13.5.
Wow. All right, you get it. I said 10.5. They're giving Minnesota 13. It's the same team.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it is. So.
Wow.
Hurts me to say it, but Tampa's just not good. They get a lot of penalties. They play from behind every game. They can't run the ball, and they're not throwing the ball well either. There's not a lot to like right now.
They used to come from behind at least. Now it's like they're down 10 points and it's shot. Forget it. This is something you left me a message today. I think you left it like 3 minutes ago. I don't know how that's happened. We were just talking.
Even when we're doing the podcast?
Yeah, it was right during the podcast. I saw my phone light up. Well, let me just play it. See what it is here. Hold on.
Cousin Sal, sports guy here, sitting here a little melancholy, three sheets to the wind after downing a jug full of gingerbread latte spiked with Cristal. I figured I'd call you before you found out from TMZ, and I don't know how to say this, but I've decided to decertify my union with Joshy Washy Pudding Pop Twinkle Toes Freeman. We just broke up. I couldn't do it anymore. 15 for 33, 3 interceptions. Crushed by Houston, crushed by San Fran, lost 3 games in a row. I can't hitch my wagon to a loser. I had to call it off, but you'll be happy to know I celebrated my independence by having a threesome with Tim Tebow and Pat's linebacker Rob Ninkovich. We read the Bible and drank pure 300-proof vodka till the dawn's early light. And I don't have to worry about 10 to Thighs Timmy throwing an interception because he stays away from passing at any expense. Just like every good quarterback should. As far as Rob Ninkovich goes, well, did you know Ninkovich is the 33rd most popular baby name in America? I wasted 65,000 words on that very issue in last week's column. So from now on, I'm playing the field. Got to think about me and my papal boner. Now, if you excuse me, I got to go and... Oh, no. I'm about to get run over by an ice cream truck for no reason. Help!
There you go.
There it is. That's it.
Weird.
I got to start doing Tebow calls now.
That's it. Tebow and Ninkovich. Was Ninkovich the Russian spy who helped the Patriots set up the hidden cameras on the sideline? Or was that someone else?
Ninkovich is a guy who he's one of those guys on your football team that anytime he's involved in anything, you just assume it's going to go badly. And then yesterday it all flipped around.
I like it. I like
he was good. He felt a little Vrabel-esque. Vrabel-esque. I don't care. Vrabel-esque.
Mm-hmm. That's the
word. Whatever the word is, he felt that way. You know what got me yesterday when Edelman was out there? I really feel like Belichick, that was a total, I'm just doing this to get everybody talking about how this is like Troy Brown again. That was it. There was no real reason to do it other than that. And then Edelman lays out Tomlinson.
That's the Doug Flutie dropkick extra point, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, maybe you might need him out of necessity on defense. So I hope he didn't get too good a laugh out of it. Buffalo at Miami. We're still in the early games here.
Ooh.
You like Miami.
Do you believe in Miami yet?
I think they could play teams tough. I think that guy figured out how to play quarterback. He hits his tight ends. Reggie Bush is coming alive for some reason. Well, they always play decent defense, so.
I can't believe it, but I'm favoring them in this game. I got Dolphins by 1.
Yeah, you're going to get it. I said Bills by 2. It's Dolphins by 2.
Yeah.
2-7 is given 5-4 points.
You know what? I think that goes to 3 by game time.
All right, you're up 6-2. Oakland and Minnesota, I hit this one on the head.
What do we
Oakland
make?
Will have 10 days off. Minnesota will have 5 days off.
Yeah. I got Vikings by 1.5.
Wow. Come on. It's 1.5.
Oof. Tell you, I'm in a good groove, Sal.
I like the Vikes a little bit here. The Vikes should just forfeit today and just look ahead to the Oakland game.
Well, I do think, do you think there's anything to when a team has the Thursday game looming, it affects how they play on that Sunday? Because I do feel like knowing that the Jets had to play in Denver on Thursday night, I do feel like it was an advantage for the Pats. Like, the Jets just have that game hanging over their head the whole game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that can't be good.
No.
That can't be good. Yeah. All right, well, this is late afternoon now. So we
hold on. What was the best early game?
Dallas, Washington's good. Cincy at Baltimore's good. And the rest are just, I don't know.
Can I just say that Dallas Washington isn't good? I think it's
yeah,
good
because
you root for the Cowboys, but that's a terrible game for the rest
you
of
watch.
America.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's going to be better than any of us wanted to be.
Those are bad early games. I might have to spend time with my kids.
Yeah, that's
screw that.
Arizona at San Fran, late afternoon.
The Cards have played two teams very frisky on the road. And I think the line has to reflect that. I'm going to say 49ers by 9.
All right. You're going to get it. I said 10.5, and it's 9.5. Are you getting a lot of heat for putting down the NFC West all this time?
Oof. They ran the slate.
Yeah. People are like, oh, how's that betting against the NFC West thing going? I'm like, I don't know. It was going pretty well. They had two wins outside of the division before yesterday.
Went pretty well for 8 years.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for asking, though.
well, listen, great defense. NFC West, they play winning football, the Niners, so nothing could go wrong. They're going to win.
I will say the 49ers are due for a crap game. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
Yep. Seattle at St. Louis. Back to back NFC West.
Boy, these are bad games.
These might be one to see the kids in the late afternoon.
My phone's ringing, and I'm going to say Rams by 3.
All right, I said 2.5, and it's 2.5. So, but that'll probably change. You are up 8-4. There are 4 games left. You're going to win because I swung and missed on 2 of these. First one being Tennessee at Atlanta.
Hold up, my phone's not done ringing yet.
Is that Joe Meade's boss calling to fire him again?
What do we make of Tennessee? I mean, officially, like it just seems like there's no rhyme or reason to what happens to them week to week. I've stopped trying to figure it out. I'm going to say Falcons by 6.5.
Wow. Why did you go so high? I mean, you're exactly right, but why did you go so high? I said 3.5.
I don't know. It just seemed like it was out of the Vegas zone. I didn't feel like Tennessee was good enough to be in the Vegas zone.
So I think we're learning. All right, so then Carolina is a really bad team then, and there's no stock in anything that Tennessee did yesterday. And maybe that's right. And Atlanta needs this game more. Home team.
If you're doing a power rankings, would you have 4 teams ahead of Carolina?
4 teams worse?
Yeah.
Carolina, what do you mean?
I'm saying I think Carolina is one of the 5 worst teams in the league.
Yeah, I guess so. Why do we think they're so good? I guess they only.
I don't think they're good. I think Indianapolis is worse than them. I think Cleveland is probably worse. And then other than that, now you're getting into like the Rams and Seattle and the Vikings and hey, Washington's probably worse. But
well, all right.
They're one of the worst 4 teams.
Here are 5 3-win teams. Which ones are worse than Carolina? Washington, Cleveland.
Worse.
Cleveland's worse.
Nah, Cleveland's the same.
Arizona?
They're better.
They beat Carolina first week, right?
Think they're better anyway.
Seattle?
They're better. They've played teams good.
The Eagles?
that one, I don't know. If Vince Young is starting next week, it might be the Eagles.
Right.
Carolina's. We have to abandon the Carolina ship because just hit an iceberg 3 weeks ago.
I'm out. San Diego at Chicago.
Speaking of icebergs. Things could not be breaking better for the Bears.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better time to play the Chargers than right now, and especially with the pass rush they have, and it just doesn't seem like the Chargers can block.
Such a bad matchup for the soft California team.
Oh, they're really so soft. I put this game in the Vegas zone, but I'm going to take the Bears as long as it doesn't climb higher than 7. I'm going to say Bears by 4.5.
Well, it's going to have to climb a lot to get to 7. It's 3.5, and that's what I said, 3.5. But
I disagree. Yeah. That's too low. That's a dumb line.
That is dumb.
Dumb line. Bad line. Bad line, Vegas.
Is it weird to you that Devin Hester is going to make the Hall of Fame because coaches are stupid? Here's a player who's completely his everything you give him, all the accolades, all his body of work is contingent on coaches not doing the right thing and punting away.
Let me just say something here.
Yeah.
If Devin Hester makes the Hall of Fame before Ray Guy, I'm out. I don't ever want to talk about the Hall of Fame again.
What do you care about Ray Guy? Isn't he like
Ray Guy should be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah. He was the best punter of our entire childhood and teenagehood. There was nobody close to Ray Guy. Ray Guy was so far ahead of every other punter. And if you're going to say that Ray Guy, that punting wasn't important enough to be in the Hall of Fame, then how can you put a kick returner in there?
Well, would Ray Guy punt to Devin Hester is the question.
Ray Guy would punt over his head, and it would go out of bounds on the 1.5-yard line.
Yeah. Why aren't teams doing that? Like, I could see, like, in baseball, if you walk Pujols intentionally, there's a downside. You got to run around first.
Yeah.
That guy might score. But if you kick away out of bounds to Devin Hester, why shouldn't you be able to kick it out of bounds 38 yards, you know?
And whatever happened to the low line drive rolling punt that guy teams used to do when we were growing up? Just the angled low roll, the one that rolls and ends up, it's a 48-yard punt, but it went in the air for 20.
Yeah.
They don't do those either. Anyway, let's keep going.
All right, Sunday night, Philly at the Giants. Now, I guess I'll give you this hint because you beat up on me anyway this week. This line reflects Michael Vick playing.
I figured. Hey, it's either going to be 4 or 3.5, and it's the whole Eagles season, so it's going to they're going to put it low. They jack the Eagles lines it's all season. I'm going to say Giants by 3.5.
It's 3. It's only 3. Brad, you're right on this week. I don't know. I don't get it.
I told you I've been on for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like this. I think you're
my picks have been good, too.
Starting to cheat. I don't like it. Why is this only 3?
Because it's the whole season for the Eagles. They cannot lose this game. If they lose this game, just send everybody home.
Yeah.
Might actually do that with DeSean Jackson. Good luck. Good luck with your next contract, DeSean.
I hate this Eagles team. They killed me. That you wouldn't jump on you wouldn't even respond to my email. I had a great money line parlay with Clemson.
That's why I didn't respond.
Clemson, Alabama. I know you want to know part of it. Pacquiao, just to win the Eagles and the Packers tonight.
Yeah.
And the Eagles killed me.
Monday night.
Disgusting. Kansas City at New England. We're ending it.
Yeah. It's going to be exactly 10.
But it's right now it's exactly 12, and I said 11.
Oh.
You killed me this week.
That's a little
Castle Alpha Blood, or is it over?
Wow, 12. Well, you got the Romeo Crennel part. You have the three receivers that are all bigger guys that could get open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe they just need to get away from Arrowhead. That used to be a good place to play. But
quickly, your Pacquiao scorecard from Saturday night.
I had it really close. I have, I don't have a problem with someone giving it a draw other than you're getting paid to pick someone to win, but it could have been 6-6. I had 7-5 Pacquiao. I think that trainer is dumb for telling, Marquez that he was up. Even if he did think he was up, what was he? Wasn't up 7-3. You know, it was a close fight. You never tell a guy he's close. Close. And I don't know. What do you think, Floyd? You think that the line goes up? Would he be a 2-1 favorite, Floyd Mayweather?
Well, you tweeted that you thought this was a genius move by Pacquiao because now it makes Mayweather want to think that he could. It's almost a little bit like Hagler Mugabe years and years ago when Leonard watched Hagler Mugabe and decided he could potentially beat him.
Yeah, I was half kidding, but I really think like Mayweather, Pacquiao has trouble with counterpunchers and. Yeah, look, everyone says it is all styles matchups. Like, Mayweather had trouble with Hatton, Mayweather had trouble with De La Hoya, and Pacquiao killed those guys. So, you know, and then Mayweather killed Marquez, and Pacquiao had trouble in him. So it's hard to say, but counterpunchers could be Pacquiao's downfall.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was either 7-5, 6-6, or 5-7 the other way. And the problem is the rounds that Marquez won, it seemed like they were a little bit more convincing than the rounds Pacquiao won. But when you add everything up, boxing doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And if you just judge it from what you saw, you would have said either a draw or like maybe a hair of an edge to Marquez. But he did mail in the last, I felt like he didn't really do what he was doing the rest of the fight in the last two rounds because he thought he was ahead and he thought he had it won. And how many times are we going to have to watch a boxer do this?
It's so stupid. And Pacquiao stole a few of those later rounds, you know, in the last 10, 15 seconds. But as far as the trainer, again, like some of those early rounds, like Pacquiao landed 10 punches, Marquez landed 7. So how are you telling your guy he's up and he's up big?
Right. Especially when you're the challenger, and whether it's fair or unfair, you know, judges do feel like they're going to – you have to beat the champ. They're always going to give a close round to the champ, it feels like. And
yep.
I don't know. It's just like at some point I want to see a fight where it seems like the challenger might be ahead after 10 rounds, but his trainer's going, oh, you got to keep going out there. Don't let the judges steal this fight from you. I've never heard a judge or quarterman ever say that in the quarter.
Yeah, I would be like, I'm going to throw in the towel if you don't step it up here, even if a guy's up like 8-3 in rounds.
You better throw at least 50 good punches this round, or I'm throwing in the towel on you. Right. Yeah, but overall, though, a big weekend for boxing because the MMA fight, fair or unfair, was over in 80 seconds.
And I don't hate MMA and love boxing. I love boxing and like MMA, but when the MMA main events are bad, they are bad, right? It just looks like a terrible street fight, you know? Just one guy wasn't ready, and that's sort of what it was, right?
From I don't know, I'm not going to pretend to know that much, but it did seem like the UFC fans that I know thought they made a mistake with the fight. Even though that was a great matchup and that's a good last fight for a pay-per-view card, if you're trying to win over the TV audience, people thought like Dan Henderson should have been in that fight. If you're going to try to win over people you want a long fight with some violence, and that was like a worst-case scenario. But overall, though, I thought – nice matchup with Fox and UFC. Just kind of felt right. I like the music. It felt good to see it on Fox. And I wish they had done a two-hour card with a couple fights. I think that was the mistake.
Keep it going. We could see a good free fight. Why not?
Yeah, I love it. Anyway, what do you have to plug? Anything?
Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Miss Piggy. And later in the week, Tim Allen, Jamie Oliver, Vince Gill. And we celebrate National Unfriend Day. It's a holiday of sorts. My cousin Jimmy invented, where he urges people on Facebook to unfriend undesirable leeches, you know, hangers-on that you never see. Anyway, it's a good cause.
Good. And, you know, for the BS Report listeners out there, hopefully we'll have some NBA podcasts this week if the NBA season gets going. We're going to find out tomorrow whether this abyss continues to be an abyss or if something actually happens. So if anything does happen, we'll have some good NBA-related guests on here for you. Until
there
then,
you
we'll see you on the BS Report. Oh, go ahead.
Let me give you one more prop, my Monday night props. I know you don't like this. Packers by 18-21, 6-1 odds, 22-25, 9-1, 26-29, 12-1. Have some fun with it.
Beautiful. And one last note on Grantland.com. Sal's got a gambling blog every Thursday, and I actually wrote the recap for Homeland today because our writer, Andy Greenwald, who normally does the Homeland recaps and is great at it, he's on vacation. So I stepped up and did it. It was fun. I like writing TV recaps. Anyway, check
good
it out.
Good job by you, Billy.
Thank you. Good job by yourself.
All right, bud. I'll see you.
Target the sound off.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.